The following has been recorded in conjunction with OU Torah, the Daf HaShavua Foundation, and Congregation Beth Aaron. We continue now with Masechet Beitza, the Avdalah and Mabez, approximately 10 lines from the top of the page, Amar Rav Masna. Continues the Gemara, Amar Rav Masna. Eitzim shenashu min adekel toch hatanur b'yantif. If you have branches which fall from a dekel, from a palm tree, directly into an oven on yantif, you can go ahead and you can add more branches, although these are etzim uchanim, these are branches, wood that was prepared beforehand, so it does not have the status of muksa, umasikon, and you could burn them all together. The chiddush of Ramasna seems to be that even though the branches that fell on Yom Tov from muksa, you can go ahead and you can be mevatel them, you can nullify them in other branches of heter, and you can burn them all together on Yom Tov. Says the Gemara of Kamahapech B'Yisura, how can you do that? After all, when you add the other branches, you're going to inevitably move these branches of Muksa, and you will violate an Isser of moving Muksa on Yom Tov if you're not permitted to do that. So says the Gemara, no, why? Cave on the Ruba, the Hetera, and then who? Ki Kamahapech B'Hetera Kamahapech. Since the majority of branches are going to be branches of Heter, so therefore we assume that when you go ahead and move the branches around, but we assume that you're actually directly handling the heter branches, because after all, you can't really distinguish between the two, and we assume, based on the laws of Rove, of Bittel, that you're handling only the branches that are not muksa. Says the Gemara, yes, but how can you do this? After all, by doing this, what you are essentially doing is you are being mevatel, you are nullifying an iser l'chadchila. The whole concept of bittul, which we have been discussing several shiurim already, so that's when you have a situation in which something is prohibited, and without any intent on your part, it falls into other substances of its type, of another type, and then you have a situation where you have a tarovas, you have a mixture which you did not intentionally create. That's when we can go ahead and we can calculate if we have rov, depending on the type of iser. Sometimes we need bittul b'shishim, sometimes 1 in 100, 1 in 200. But in all of these situations, the tarovas came about on its own because of some unintentional act. Over here, what you are doing is you are being mevatel and iser l'chachila. You are setting it up from the beginning that you are taking something which is aser and you're being mevatel it. And that's not permissible. After all, it's not. There's a Mishnah which teaches in the Vatlin Isser L'Chadchila. You're not permitted to go ahead and take something which is Aser and be Mevatel L'Chadchila. Rashi tells us that this is a Mishnah in Trumos, which says that if you have a saw of Truma, if you have a measure of Truma, Shenafla L'Tos Tishim Etisha, that it falls into a Tarovas and you have a ratio of 99 to 1. Previously we had mentioned that when it comes to Truma, it's going to be batel in a ratio of 100 to 1. So Nebuch, this poor guy, he came so close, but not far enough. It's 99 to 1. And then it says, v'chazer v'naf l'sash v'chulin. And then one more measure falls in. So now he has what? He has the full ratio required, 100 to 1. So it says, v'shogig muter. If the bittul came about b'shogig unintentionally, so then it's mutter, then you can go ahead and partake of this mixture. However, if this happened intentionally, the person went ahead and he said, that's it, I'm not going to go ahead and wash all of this go to waste, so he takes one more saw of chulin and he throws it in order to create the bittul, then it's going to be usr. So we see that you're not permitted to go ahead and be mevatel l'nisa l'chadchila. So how then is it the Rav Masna teaches you can go ahead and add more to this mixture? So says the Gemara, Hani mili b'daraisa. When is it that we say in mevatel l'nisa l'chadchila? When is it that we say that you cannot go ahead and create bittul l'chadchila on your own? That's when you're dealing with something which is usr b'daraisa, such as the case that we quoted over here of Truma. That is also on a biblical level of Abba Durabbanan, but over here, Rashi says we're dealing over here with the case of Muksa. Muksa is only a what? An Issa Durabbanan. So when it comes to Issa Durabbanan, Mevatlin, then they can go ahead, and even L'Chachila can go ahead and be Mevatlin. Some Rishonim suggest that even in this case, it's only permissible if you go ahead and you're taking something which already fell into a mixture, but it didn't have enough of heter in order to be mevatel l'yisr. That's when we still go ahead and say you can be mevatel in Issa d'Rabbanan. But according to these Rishonim, you can't actually go ahead and take something which is Issa d'Rabbanan and it's not in, as part of any mixture yet whatsoever, and be mevatel it lechatchila. So that's the question, how you read this Gemara, whether the Gemara is saying that you can mevatel in this the Rabbanim, such as muksel lechatchila, without any exception whatsoever, or perhaps if it falls into a mixture, but you don't have the required ratio, so then we go ahead and say, you can be mosif, you can add more, in order to be mevatel yisa the Rabbanim. So that's the question, but either way, the Gemara says that you may in fact be mevatel in this the Rabbanim lechatchila. Continues the Gemara with another question. Ulu Rav Ashi, according to Rav Ashi, the Amar who teaches called Davar Sheyesh L'Matir Nafilu B'Drabana L'Batil, Ma'ikel Neymar. Previously we had taught that there's an opinion that says that when it comes to a Davar Sheyesh L'Matir, when it comes to something that is going to become permissible in some short time anyway, so then there is no Bittul. Bittul only works by something which is Asa today, and it's going to be Asa tomorrow, and it's going to be Asa forever. But if you have something that is going to become Mutter on its own, all you need to do is wait, that's called the Davar Sheyesh L'Matirin. And the principle that we saw earlier is Davar Sheyesh L'Matirin, Afil Be'elef L'Batil, and even, Rav Ashi says, even by the Rabbanan. Now over here we're dealing with the Rabbanan, we're dealing with the Nisa, the Rabbanan, the wood that fell off of the tree is also the Rabbanan because of Muksa. And all you need to do is wait till tomorrow. You need to wait till after that day of Yom Div, and then it's going to be Heter Gamor. So then how can it, then could we rely on Bittul at all? Forget the Shad of being Mevatel El Chachila. Even if you didn't go ahead and do it in, on your own. Even if it fell into Tarovis on its own, but still, it's a Davar Sheyesh L'Matirin, in which case it should not be subject to the laws of Bittul at all. So it says the Gemara, Hanimiri Hecha the Isser V'Yisur V'Enet. This is only true when the Isser that we're talking about, when the prohibited substance is something which remains extant, it remains intact at the end of the process. Over here, hacha machla kala yisura, the iser, the prohibited substance, namely the branches, the wood, they become consumed, they become burned in this process, they become destroyed essentially, and so therefore we do not say that since it's a davar sheyesh l'matirin, there's no bittul. This rule that when it comes to davar sheyesh l'matirin, it's not bittul, that's only true when, at the end of the day, it's going to become mutter, and it will remain be'en, it's still going to be in that original state. However, over here, since it's going to be consumed, it's going to be destroyed anyhow, in that particular case, we do not say that a davar sheyesh l'matirin is not going to be bittul. Continues the Gemara, Itmar, Shnei Yamim Tovim Shagalios, regarding the 2 days of Yom Tov that are observed outside the land of Israel. Rashi explains over here that it's called Yom Tov Shagalios, She'in Osan Aselo B'nei Galios Rechok Mibezdin. The only people who actually observe this second day are people who live outside of Israel and are far from Bezdin. B'in Ashluchin Yecholim Agiyat, Lam Rosh Chodesh Ad Yom Tov, Lodiyam Be'ez Yom Dikna Chodesh, and Yom Shloshim, Yom Shloshim Yachon. They were too far from Bezdin to be able to be informed in time when exactly Rosh Chodesh was declared. If you don't know when Rosh Chodesh is, then you're not going to know when Yom Tov is. And so therefore, we have the concept of Yom Tov Sheni Shel Galios, the second day of Yom Tov, outside of the land of Israel, which is observed Misafek, Midaraisa says Rashi Yom Rishon Shabbason of Yom Hashi Shabbason Vesulo. Min HaTorah, there's only one day of Yom Tov. We have one day of Rosh Hashanah, we have one day of Sukkot, and one day of Shmini Atzeres, one day of Shavuos, etc. We don't have 2 days of Yom Tov consecutively. That concept is based on this suffix, and therefore it's called Yom Tov Sheni Shel Galios because it's only observed outside of the land of Israel. Continues the Gemara, when you have Yom Tov Sheni Shel Galios, Rav says, no, the Bazem Ateres Bazet. That if you have a situation where an egg was laid on the first day of Yom Tov, it is going to be muteres, it's going to be permissible for consumption on the second day. Rav Asi says, no, Nol de Bazet Asura Bazet. That if it is born, if it's laid on the first day of Yom Tov, it is going to be usher, it is going to be prohibited on the second day. So what is the machlokas between Rav and Rav Asi? Lema, let us suggest the following. Kosava Rav Asi holds Kedusha Achasi. Rav Asi holds the reason why you cannot have an egg on the second day of Yom Tov, if it was laid on the first day of Yom Tov, because there is no first and second day. Essentially, says Rav Asi, halachically, it's one long day. Kedusha Achas, it has one designation of sanctity. And that when Chazal instituted the second day of Yom Tov, it wasn't considered to be a separate day. Rather, it's Kedusha Achas. It's considered Yom Aruch, says Rashi, Yom Arichta, one long day. And therefore, obviously, you cannot eat the egg on the second day because there is no second day. The second day really is nothing more than an extension of the first day. The fact that the sun set and then the sun rose the next day, so that's not relevant as far as Ravasi is concerned. Ravasi will say, halachically, it's considered to be one Kedusha, one long day. Says the Gemara, but that can't be. But Ravasi mavi miyomatav l'chavre. We see that Ravasi would make Havdalah after the first day of Yom Tov. Even though Ravasi observed 2 days of Yom Tov outside of Israel, Yom Tov Sheni Shagolios, he would still make Yom Tov. He would still make Havdalah. Says Rashi, mevarech hamavdil min kodesh kol. He would go ahead and recite Havdalah. And why did he do that? Because he held Kimlon b'kriya d'yarcha. Because he held that today we know exactly when Yom Tov is. There's no suffix anymore. We know that the second day is not really Yom Tov. Yom Tov Sheni Chol Gomeru. Why then do we observe 2 days of Yom Tov? It says, Rashi, Mishum Minuk of Aseinu, this is what a perpetuation of a Minuk that our fathers had. So the Yadu Bekriyas HaChodesh Kamonu, they did not know exactly when Yom Rosh Chodesh was, when Yom Tov was like we do. We go ahead and we continue this tradition they had of observing a second day. But Ravasi said, I know exactly when Rosh Chodesh is, I know when Yom Tov is, and therefore I'm going to recite Havdalah. And so therefore you see very clearly Ravasi did not hold that the second day of Yom Tov was an extension of the first day. He doesn't hold that it's Kedusha Achas. If he actually held Kedusha Achas, there would be no reason to explain why he would say Havdalah after the first night of Yom Tov. So continues the Gemara, the second wide line, and says no. The reality is that Ravasi Svuki Mesafkale. Ravasi was uncertain. He simply didn't know. When Chazal instituted the second day of Yom Tov, was it to be instituted as a continuation of the first day, because there was a genuine suffix over here, or was it instituted mishum minhag of sin b'yadeinu, but really we consider it to be a day of chol? So what would he do? Avid halchul l'chumra v'halchul l'chumra. He would essentially cover his bases, and he would be knowing stringently in either direction. He would assume maybe it's a day of chol, in which case I should say Havdalah after the first day. On the other hand, I'm not going to eat an egg which was laid on the first day because maybe it's really Kedusha Achas. So the Gemara says it's unclear from Ravasi's actions whether or not he held that it was Kedusha Achas or Shtei Kedushos. Maybe he was just Mesupak, he didn't know, and therefore he was knowing L'chumra L'kan L'kan. The Gemara continues, Amar Rav Zeira, Kavasei de Ravasi Nistabra. Rav Zeira says, you know, logically speaking, it makes sense that Ravasi's position is correct. Why? Because today Yadina Mekriya D'Yarcha. Today we know exactly when Rosh Chodesh is. There's no suffix anymore. There's no doubt in our mind. We know exactly when Rosh Chodesh is. But yet, V'Kavdina Trei Yomei. But yet we still observe 2 days. So what does that prove? Says Rashi, V'Kavdina Trei Yomei, Alma, this shows, Chok Kavuahu, Mitakanas Chachamim HaYisrael HaRachokim, Lasosan V'Afibu B'Lal Suffix. We see that this was a firmly established Takanas Chachamim, enactment by the rabbis, that those who live outside of Eretz Yisrael are going to observe a second day, even when there is no suffix. Hilkoch, therefore, we see kechad yom ha'aricho shavinu, that obviously it was established to be in a continuation of the first day. It is what's called Kedusha Achas, and therefore, Rav Zeira says, it would seem, therefore, that Ravasi's position is correct. Ravasi says that in Olda Bazeh, Asu Bazeh, that an egg which was laid on the first day of Yom Tov should not be eaten on the second day. This would seem, this position would seem to be supported by our practice, namely because today we observe 2 days of Yom Tov, even though we no longer have a suffix regarding when Yom Tov is, because we have Kriya D'Yarcha. The Gemara then says that Abayu disagreed. Amar Abayu kava say the Rav Nistabra. He says, actually, it seems more logically to say the Rav's position is correct. The Tanangas, we have a Mishnah which teaches the following, but Rishon originally, Hayu Masiyun Masos, they used to go ahead and light torches. This was a very efficient, ancient manner of communication before we had technology like we have today. You can pick up the phone and call somebody on the other side of the world. How would they go ahead and communicate when Bezdin actually went ahead and declared when Rosh Chodesh is? So how would they communicate that message in a very efficient manner to people who live far away? So they would have people who would be situated on hilltops, and you would light the torches, and they would see them many, many miles away. And when they saw the sign, so they would go ahead and light their torches, and they would continue to communicate the message and essentially be able to send a message at relatively lightning speed all throughout the land. And so therefore, the message got out pretty quickly. This is what they used to do originally. However, Mishakilkula Kusim, at a certain point, the Kusim, which were a group of people who at one point they had undergone a conversion, but in all likelihood the conversion was not valid, so shaila what their status was, but at this point we see they were trying to interfere, obstruct with the process, and obviously this created a great kilkul, because Here were the Kusim who were standing on hilltops and they were lighting torches. When it didn't apply, they were creating all this confusion. So essentially they had to abolish this practice. This method of communication was no longer effective because they were getting mixed signals, literally. So therefore, Hiskinush Yishluchin Yosin, so what they did was they established that they would send out messengers. They would send out messengers, and the messengers would tell the various communities when Rosh Chodesh was. The problem was, the advantage to this system was that the Kusim could not interfere with it, because the Shluchim were obviously individuals who were recognized and who were trusted. The problem is, it took them much longer to get from point A to point B, and so therefore they were not able to communicate this message nearly as efficiently. So now Abaye continues and he makes the following diyuk. The Ilu Baku Kutim, it sounds from here from the Mishnah that if we would have been able to stop the Kusim from their deviant behaviors and stop them from trying to interfere with our process, Avinu Chadyoma, so then we would have gone ahead and been able to establish one day of Yom Tov again, because we could have reinstituted the original practice of lighting the torches. And therefore, wherever we can send messengers and they could reach in time for Yom Tov, Avinu Chadyoma. So you see from here very clearly the Chazal did not establish the second day of Yom Tov that it has to be, that all has to be 2 days of Yom Tov. It was more of a practical concern because the Kusim interfered and then there was no way to go ahead and get the message out, and so therefore it had to be this way. Says the Gemara, but is that really true? Because after all, v'hasha v'yadina v'kriya v'yarcha, my time v'yadina treyomi. If that would be true, then how do you explain today? Today we know exactly when Rosh Chodesh is. We know the Kriya V'yarcha. We have a clearly established calendar. So then my time v'yadina treyomi, why then do we still observe 2 days of Yom Tov? Mishum t'sholchum itam, because they sent from there. They sent from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel. Hizaru b'minag avsechem yadechem. Be very careful to observe the minhag, the customs of your fathers. Zimnin, the gazru hamachos gezeira v'asul l'kukule. Because it may happen in the future that there should be a gezeira that would lead to a kilkul. What type of gezeira we're concerned about over here? So says Rashi, gezeira shelo yisaske b'torah. Maybe there'll be a gezeira that the Jewish people would not be able to study Torah. Maybe there will be people will forget how exactly to determine when Rosh Chodesh will be. The Soda Ibor, the secret of calculating Rosh Chodesh, will be lost from the people, and that would create a tremendous kilkul, says Rashi, because then you'd have miscalculation of the months. And God forbid you that people are eating chametz on Pesach. It could lead to a terrible kilkul. And so therefore, because of the concern for this kilkul, so we say that you should always follow the practices of the past.